She's been in and out as one of our women with opinions over the years. We've talked her on various topics through the decade or more. And we met her in the context of being an author, first with her debut, A December Girl, then The Nanny at Number 43 followed, and she's back with a brand new one. And I have it here in my hand. It's called Adele, the novel by Nicola Cassidy. Nicola, you're so welcome to Late Lunch. Nothing
not
to do
the
with
Adele
the singer.
We know.
Not
no.
the Adele that we
but who
know.
Who is she called after? How do we know?
Well, we're going to find out now in the next while, aren't we? Let me say to you first up and tell listeners, congratulations. You get better book on book.
Well, thank you.
You do. You really do. Do you feel that yourself, you know,
yeah.
as an author, when you think about December Girl and The Nanny at Number 43?
I do personally, yeah. I do feel that my writing has possibly gotten better, but just my understanding of publishing has gotten a lot better. And from the start, I now work on how I almost have the book in my head before it's even written, you know,
yeah.
as in how it's going to be, what genre it's going in, how it's even this cover, like I really had all that in my head. And there was an article in the Daily Mail last weekend about the book, and it was over 4 pages, and when I opened it up I was going, this is what I saw before I even wrote it. It's exactly what I was trying to do, as in tell her story this, the way I wanted it to be, if somebody wrote an article on it, what they said about it. And it was exactly right. So I think maybe my understanding of the industry and understanding as a writer and an author and book publishing, it's definitely gotten better.
So who is Adele? Tell them.
Adele Astaire was Fred Astaire's older sister, and back in the 1920s, she was at the height of her fame, and she was more famous than we would have known Fred Astaire today. And she has been forgotten by history over time. Her memory and her notoriety and her talent has disappeared from our memory. And when I discovered her story and who she was, I said, I'm going to write about her, and I'm going to try and bring back some of the memory of this person, because she was a superstar in her day. And the reason that she's really been forgotten is because she bowed out just before movies came into existence. So Fred took off when the movies came in and she bowed out and got married. But up till then, for about nearly 30-year partnership, her and Fred Astaire had this massive stage career. And that's what I've written about.
What turned you towards Adele Astaire?
Netflix. And I'm a big believer in, I read a lot, but I also watch a lot and I listen a lot. And I take little notes, but a lot of it just stays in my head. And I was watching a documentary on Netflix once, historical. I like watching my historical stuff and going to historical things. And here was a documentary about Chatsworth House, which is a huge, big estate house in the UK, in Derbyshire. And the Duchess movie, if you've ever seen that, is based there. It's based on that family. And Adele married into that family in the early 1930s, 1932. And it was in a documentary about that house, and it just mentioned her briefly. And it said that she came to Ireland and she'd settled in Ireland, and that her husband was buried in Ireland and everything. So I just was, that stuck it with me for a couple of years, actually. And then when I started researching, I realised, and she's a massive Irish connection. She lived in Ireland for many years, and then right up until the 1980s she was visiting here. So once I have the Irish connection as well, it's something I want to write about.
First time you've left the 19th century, you know, where your other
and
two
Drogheda.
Books and the local area yeah. as well, to really fly internationally. The Roaring Twenties, they were known as.
Yeah.
Do you get it now, having done all this research?
Yeah, well, it was, I suppose fashion's coming, we're 100 years on from 1920.
Yeah.
So they were such a time of change. I mean, you have to remember what was going through people's minds. Where were they at? They were just out of the First World War. So they had gone through all this turmoil. They had lost so many young people, and now they were, and this was also before the Depression. So they had these 10 years of really where people did start partying and did start kind of trying to live their lives, because they had come through this wartime where people's lives were being cut short. So it was a fascinating time of change. They're also coming out of the 19th century. So the restrictions in the Victorian age was over, and they were discovering who they were. And it was a great time for women to kind of, even little things like shorter skirts, flapper dresses. They were such, showing your thigh, or sorry, not your thigh, your shin, your leg. Jesus, if showing your thigh now, that would be put in jail. But just the whole culture was coming alive, and it was a very interesting time to write about.
It goes without saying that the research required for this book far outstripped the other two.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And it took me a bit longer to write it because I had to research thoroughly. And there was three kind of main one. I read everything I can on the source material.
Yes.
And there's a fantastic book that I had called The Asteris, and it had already done the research. So I had it all at hand, kind of all about their lives and, you know, the actual fact of their lives. But then I went to Lismore Castle, which is where Adele lived. She married into, and I worked on getting in there for a long time, and I was lucky enough to get a private tour of the castle because it's closed to visitors. It's not an open castle, but it's exactly the same as it was when Adele lived there.
So that gave you a real feel you could actually probably feel her moving about the place.
I actually could. And even on the drive down, because it's beautiful, Lismore, it's real country area. It's kind of it's near Cork. It's in the county Waterford.
Cork,
it's on the border, yeah. And I felt like she drove, when she got married, they drove in their motor car down to there, and she drove over the threshold because that's the type of person she was. Like she was like, "You're not driving me in here," you know. Okay. So I almost felt like she was with me. But it's so nice to be able to tell someone's story that had. I mean, she was very famous, and there is material out there. But if you mention her to anyone nowadays, nobody knows her. And there is a movie in the works about her life, so I think she is going to come back in, and these stairs are going to come back around again. So I'm delighted to be in this time frame that I'm at now. So Lismore Castle was one, and then the major research I suppose for me was going over to their archives in Boston. And they'd no relation to Boston, but it's just there's a library there with all the material, and it is boxes of stuff, boxes of scrapbooks, photographs, all her intimate diaries I could read. It's just really fascinating stuff that I did not expect it to be so extensive. So, I mean, I was like a child at Christmas over there last year in the library, and that's where I was able to think, because if you're writing a novel, you're trying to get into what they really thought and how they express themselves and their, you know, all their flaws. Their flaws are there on the page. You can see how she's jealous of her husband at times. And so I had everything I needed to write the novel then.
You know, Fred Astaire is still today regarded as probably one of the greatest ever dancers of his time. And like, that man was sensational. But this woman, as you say, just to repeat again, was the star before he ever was. And she's really forgotten, airbrushed out of history in a way.
She is, yeah. And she was, apparently from everything I've read, the better dancer. Which is incredible if you think how good Fred was.
Oh, yeah.
She was naturally a dancer, where they said he was obviously a natural dancer as well, but he worked extremely hard. And when they were kids, it was her that was sent to the dance lessons. First of all, he was tagging along. So she was getting all the attention, and he just happened to be there, and they threw him into the classes as well. That's how he came to become a dancer, was because of her. And when he accepted award in the late 1970s from the American Film Institute.
Yeah.
And the first thing he said, accepting this Lifetime Achievement Award, the whole room was full of A-list celebs. And the first thing he said when he got up was that it wasn't him, it was his sister. It was all about her.
So he acknowledged.
Yeah, and he was so close to her. There was only the two of them. They're very, very close. So much so that when he was doing the research, he didn't marry until he was quite older, and until she married. And apparently it was almost the mother and Fred and Adele, and the mother didn't like anybody coming in, any girlfriends, any boyfriends. That she liked the three of them, and they lived together, and, you know, they had this very intimate relationship of training and working, and they were very, very close right up till the end.
You write this book in a particular way. It's not a biography or autobiography at all about this lady. You go back to her very early life when they were children, you know, in the early 1900s. You bring in Patricia Ryan into the plot as well, no-nonsense Irish girl, you know, as they are growing up. And you jump forward to the 70s using Ellie Morgan, should I say, a Californian journalist on a mission to research.
Yeah, well...
And you tie them all together.
Yeah, like, so it's a novel. It's kind of hard when you're writing something that's actually happened. You know, people think it's a non-fiction book. I would call it biofiction. So it's still a story,
yes,
but it's based on fact.
Okay.
But I have to be able to write it as a story that you know, you're going to turn the pages, what happened next. So I've created fiction around it. But actually, my fiction is, again, based on fact. The Irish connection is a true connection that I'm was told when I was doing my research of a woman that had gone with Adele over to the States and never came back. So even though it's in mine, I'm making it up. I'm basing it on it, something true.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't want to ruin the end, obviously, but there is a part at the end, and that's based on truth. So anyone that reads to the end, the last few pages, is truly happy.
Can I say it's factional?
Faction.
It's blimmin' good, let me tell you, folks, today. Have you seen the reviews?
No, you were saying there's some.
Well,
I
can tell you.
It's very early days.
Well, for early doors, let me tell you, Nicola Cassidy, the reviews are outstanding.
Really?
They really are. They really are. She wants to sign a copy. The author herself is going to sign. This will be a collector's item in years to come. What's the question, Miss Cassidy?
The question is, what type of dance was Fred Astaire famous for?
The type of dance Mr. Fred Astaire and, of course, Adele was famous for. What's the genre? The type of dance that they're renowned for, please. That's the question for a signed copy. You'll love it, I promise you. 086 1800 658. Text, please. No WhatsApp at the moment. We're sorting out a technical difficulty there. Text us to Late Lunch, 086 1800 658 with your answer and your details as soon as you can. Now, we have to say you had a spectacular launch planned, and we're sorry to tell the listener today, in the current climate, it's off.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Saturday at 3 o'clock in Waterstones, run 3 to 5, so we've postponed it for obvious reasons, but it will be, I mean, as soon as we get everything under control, it'll be back on. And I just want to say that it's a family friendly event. We have some tap dancers coming down who were like Fred and Adele, and we've some couple of things lined up, face painting and story time and that. So when it's back on, if anyone watches my social media, I'll have it up there and Lady Nikki.
Absolutely. Watch this space. That launch will happen. Now, besides the book, you're a busy woman. You have two young children. You work. You're writing. You're down in Clare delivering speeches from the heart. And, of course, you've had a little moment of reflection lately. Can I call it philosophizing or self-reflection? Or a moment in life. You know what I'm talking about. I was struck by this post you put up recently.
Really?
Yes, I really was, because you were so honest and so forthright in what you had to say. It's not easy juggling all these balls.
No, it's not. No, and it's, I mean, I don't know, if you have your goals and you want to get them, you work all the time I work every day towards what I'm trying to do, but I'm human and normal, and, you know, I have to get up with my kids early every day, and I have to run around corridors at 10 o'clock at night fetching boppies. Like, that's life. So the blog is still there. I don't blog as much as I used to, but when I do, I really enjoy it, because it, as I said to you before, it gathers my thoughts. And
that's Lady Nikki, isn't it? The blog.
Lady Nikki blog. And that's how I probably got into writing. But I am honest on it, and I think if you're not, then you're who are you trying to persuade? You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I've always been honest, so
yeah.
It's not easy. But do you know what? I'm probably the happiest I've ever been in my life right now, because I am achieving my goals and I am achieving the kind of things that I set out to do. And it's what makes me happy. Like, writing is my passion. Always has been. And now I'm at a point where I was walking the dog the other day with my pooper scooper. And
good job you said that, or Alan Nolan was on his way back here.
But I was thinking, I was going, like, a year or two ago, if I knew that I was delivering on I have a 3-book deal with Poolbag, I've done 2, and I have another one to go, and I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is write it and give it to them, and work. And I know next year or the year after I'm going to have another one out. Like, that, I'm so happy about that, and I'm in such a good place. So yes, it's busy and I work hard, but I get such a reward from it. And what else can you ask for, you know?
Nothing else. Listen to this. Whoever you are, you've made my day, my week, probably my year so far. Listen to this, Nicola Cassidy. My mum saw them, that's Fred and Adele Astaire, on stage, and she said that Adele was the better answer. Wow!
Well, there you go.
What a message. I don't know who you are. Oh my, have you lifted the spirits in here? Have you lifted the spirits? Would they be talking about that show, Stop Flirting in London?
Possibly. I think they had 3 shows in London, so it was either of the 3, because Stop Flirting was one of their bigger ones. They had 3 shows that they brought to London, and London loved the Astaires. They called it Astaria. They absolutely went crazy for the Astaires. Anything American that was coming into London in the 1920s was super, because it was almost exotic to them.
Yeah.
And they actually, their fame went huge when they came to London. They were big in America, but London made them.
Yes.
So it's amazing that her mother saw that. Saw
Isn't
them.
That yeah. something
I've never,
else?
I've never spoken to anyone who's actually seen them.
To get a message like
and
that.
There's no footage of them dancing together. Oh, none no. exists.
Nothing.
Not a scrap.
Because they were pre...
Pre-video, yeah. Mm. Like, I mean, she bowed out in 1932. And when you think like that, really, movies were just getting off the ground, you know. So, but yes, she was on the stage from the early 1900s, nonstop.
Well, isn't that something else?
Like, theatre at the time was the entertainment, like live theatre and dancing and going to live shows. That's what people did. They had no TVs. Radio wasn't even really around. It was only coming on board, you know, so this is how big they were.
You just keep talking there because would you believe it? We have that person who sent in that message. Stick on those headphones there. Hello, Breda Carlin, is it? Breda?
That's right, yes.
Hello, Breda. Welcome to Late Lunch. Thank you so much for sending us in. Nicola's here listening to you.
My mum would be thrilled if she was alive.
What was your mother's name?
Kitty was her name. She was Kitty Cullen at that time.
Right. And who was she or why was she in London, will you tell me?
No, she wasn't in London, she was in Skerries.
Right.
She used to go to Skerries on holidays and that was before they were famous at all.
They actually performed here in Ireland?
Oh, yeah.
They
used to have shows for talent shows.
Yes.
And they used to
And the Astaires came there and danced?
Yes.
My, Nicola. Well, that is something else, really, isn't it? And she said that the Adele, the older sister, was certainly the better dancer.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she said she was fantastic.
My, oh my. Isn't that a lovely little story?
That's amazing to hear. Yeah, I haven't met anyone that's seen them dance at all.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what we'll have to do. Breda, we'll have to get a copy of this book and send it out to you. Is that all right? Will you leave details with Louise and we'll send it on to you today? Is that okay?
Thanks a million.
Not at all. Thank you for joining me on the show. Thank you.
No problem at all.
Take care now. Bye-bye. My God, the links you get. We'll get her a book and we'll send it out to her for sure. If you want to win the book, we've another one signed by Nicola as well. The question today is, what type of dance, Nicola asked it a few moments ago, did the Astaires do? The type of dance, the genre of dance, to win the book. 086 1800 658. Text us today. It's text only at the moment. You were off the beer.
For
what
a while.
What are you laughing at me like that?
I just wasn't expecting you to say that. Well, I've been off the beer for ages. The wine. Wine is my thing now. A lot of women, I think, enjoy their glass of wine. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I just think you have to be able to relax and, you know, that's fine. But I wanted to come off it just for a little while to see if I could do it. So I did try January and did it. And, you know, it was so hard at the start. But once I got into the habit of it, I was totally fine. And I didn't miss it actually then.
You were just saying you were fresher. There was no fog. You had loads of energy.
Yeah, well, I definitely reaped the benefits of it. But I'm kind of going back now. I'm going back to my weekly wine or whatever, and I think that's okay. You know,
absolutely.
And it's fine. I think dry January is a good thing to do for everyone every year. You know,
I'm off with myself at the minute. I'm doing the holy season, but I give up actually about 10 days before it began, and I'm feeling the benefits of it. And it teaches you that
it's a habit. I felt like, oh my god, I need it. No, not at all.
Well, can I say you have the winning habit now when it comes to writing brilliant books. This is really, really great, I have to say again. It's called Adele. It's out now by Nicola Cassidy. It's getting rave reviews across the board. I am delighted for you. I truly am. Wish you well with the book and the launch whenever that happens. And always know our door is open here on Late Lunch to you, Nicola. Congratulations. And we'll let them know who's won the book before the end of the show. Nicola Cassidy, for the moment, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.